and welcome to Generation Justice. I'm Paulie Dineklaw.
And I'm Jason Fuller. We are broadcasting from the University of New Mexico, KUNM, 89.9 FM, news and music that connect.
Generation Justice is a multimedia project that trains youth between the ages of 13 and 25 to create media that is committed to inspiring social change.
Tonight's show is dedicated to one of our core values, love.
Love can be defined many ways. Love for community, love for self, romantic love, and love for family and friends. In the end, it's all love.
Members of our Generation Justice family joined us to share what love is to them and why it's important to have love in your life.
This is Roberta Rael, the director of Generation Justice. And although Valentine's Day was just a couple of days ago, we are still talking about love. Love in all of the various contexts of what it means and how we express it. Love is one of the core values of Generation Justice. And in order to have social justice, we believe that love is a core element to social justice. In fact, some of how we define social justice is that through the work that we do with young people learning how to see their community through the lens of the camera and through the microphone in the radio station, through the pens that they write from, they see their community in a different way than they have ever been able to see their community before. And they fall in love with community. In fact, they fall so in love with community that they want to serve it and they want to help be the change makers to make our community the best it can be. So that's our definition of social justice and how love is a real part of that. Please enjoy the show.
We will also feature our very own Brittany Soce, who spoke with native New Mexican and fashion designer of PM Waterlily, Miss Patricia Michaels, about marriage equality and life with love.
Let's set the tone for the show. Here's the Beatles with All You Need Is Love. At Generation Justice, we reject the fact that one person or community must be put down in order for another to be raised up. Instead, we conduct our work from a place of love, and we commit ourselves to interacting with all people in a respectful way that exemplifies our love for humanity.
That's exactly right, Jason. Trying to create equity for one group while neglecting another is counterproductive. Whole communities have to be raised in order to achieve true equity.
Without community, we have no sense of place. We are mere strangers who happen to live close to each other. That is why here at Generation Justice, our work is done from a place of love. Love for our peers, love for our community.
Here's Generation Justice members and staff, Nicole Beatty, Victor Torres, Alma Olavaria Gallegos, and George Luna Pena, talking about how love of community influenced their sense of unity, purpose, and willingness to help others.
Hi, this is Victor Torres. A quote that I love is by Martin Luther King Jr., who said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that." When I did my speech at the OYA conference last year, my final message to everybody was to always come from a place of love. And that's been my philosophy for a very long time. Love for community, love for self, because that's how we change the world, is coming from a place of love. And so I think it's important, and I think that a lot of these revolutionaries that came and changed the world did it from a place of love. I think love is important for society because it really shows how much people can care about one another and how much people can work together to make the world a better place. So that would be why I think it's important to love one another in today's world, and to just always remember that no matter what anyone is going through or what is happening in your life, that somebody loves you out there, and that you have a whole community that can love you, so, and that does love you. So that would be my message for love, and I do hope everybody can come from a place of love, and that there will be moments where it will be hard, but if you just remember at the end of the day, if that's what you can do, then it will be better for you and better for the community and better for each one of us.
Hi, I'm Nicole Beatty. Happiness is anyone and anything at all that is loved by you. You're a good man, Charlie Brown. I feel with love of community is taking time out and going out there into your local community and putting time into it. I know that I am African-American and I really identify with our local African-American community. I'm also an engineering major, so I strongly identify with the engineering community. And with that, I've learned to give back. And in essence, me giving back is also me showing love towards my community. Since I'm in college and I'm an engineering major, like I said, I have STEM robotics groups. I'm a rocketry coach. And with that, I work with high school and elementary and middle school students. And I take time out throughout my day, throughout my week, winter break. And I spend days with them, and we work through math problems, and we work through their competition. And even though days are hard and I don't want to do it, but I know that me doing this is bettering my community, is bettering them, is giving them opportunity to see life in a different perspective, maybe future career goals. And I feel like me giving time to them is showing love to them. That's what community love is, taking yourself out of your daily work, or for me as a student, taking myself out of that. And really, you know, dedicating time to them and my patience and, you know, my education or my knowledge of what I know to them. It's also like a communication thing, too. So I feel like that's what community love is.
My name is Alma, and I'm a junior right now in high school. To me, love of my community is really about unity and about all feeling together and united and a part of something that's bigger than us. I like recently traveled to South America, and there I felt there was like a really big part of yourself was like your community, and there was a huge emphasis on the people around you, and not only the family but also your neighbors, and then also like your classmates and everyone in your community. And I was taken aback by that, not exactly shocked, but just my mind was like open, because I realized how much I'm not part of the life, really, like my neighbors especially. I'm not really very extremely close. And I think that's something that's really important, is to be in touch with the people around you.
Buenas noches, I'm George Luna Peña. So we've all heard about PDA, which stands for Public Display of Affection. Well, I'm here to just briefly talk about a different public display, one that I like to call PDJ, Public Display of Justice. There's a quote from scholar and activist Cornel West that we here at Generation Justice have shared with each other and with you all a few times. He says, quote, "Love is what justice looks like in public," close quote. And by public, of course, I understand him to mean the public, the community, which is all of you. Social justice love, or love of community to me, means extending yourself in a way that nurtures growth and equity in your community. Social justice love, or love of community to me, means never giving up on the possibility of living in a world where each one of our spirits can flourish and thrive. It means striving to have everyone's needs met, not just equally, but equitably and completely. And because of this love of community that we deeply believe in here at Generation Justice, we reject the idea that one person or community must be put down in order for another to be raised up. Instead, we conduct our work from a place of love, and we commit ourselves to interacting with all people in a respectful way that exemplifies that love. This is why love is one of our core values. So don't be afraid of a little PDJ, a little public display of justice never hurt anyone. And so I'll leave you with a quote about love from another great mind, our very own Victor Torres. He says, quote, "Always remember to come from a place of love, and everything will work itself out."
We would like to thank Victor Torres, Alma Olavarria Gallegos, Nicole Beatty, and George Luna Pena for sharing your thoughts on love and community.
Our next song was chosen by Victor and Nicole. Here's Victor with our song.
And the song I chose for this week's show is called One by India Ari.
Millions live their lives, that Muhammad, Krishna, or the Buddha are the way. Still some believe it's right to say in the name of Jesus when you pray. We are a human kind of 7 billion.
You are listening to Generation Justice, broadcasting from the University of New Mexico. The theme for our show is the importance of love.
I'm a firm believer in loving others, but in the hustle and bustle of our fast-paced lives, we forget to take time to love and take care of ourselves.
How can we love others if we don't love who we are? We need to stop putting ourselves down and thinking we're unworthy. When it all comes down to it, we have to love ourselves in order to truly love others.
Here's Nicole Beatty, as well as Paulie and myself, explaining loving yourself and what it means to us. Then you will hear Take Me As I Am by Mary J. Blige.
Hi, I'm Nicole Beatty. I am 25 and I attend the University of New Mexico. Love of self or self-love has to deal with being patient with yourself, telling yourself little mantras every day so you can get through your day if your day is rough. I believe that love of self is a type of dedication that you've bestowed upon yourself, that you know you'll take one day at a time, that you'll be patient with yourself, that you'll be caring of yourself, you'll be kind to yourself. Because, you know, sometimes you get in those days and you have those funks where you feel like you're just talking really bad about yourself. So it's those moments when you stop and take time for yourself and be kind and share those kind words with yourself, and being loving towards your body and being able to connect your mind, body, and spirit. If, you know, you're having a rough day and you feel like you need to go exercise, taking time for yourself and doing that so, you know, you may be able to continue going forward, and being understanding of yourself and compromising with yourself and knowing when, you know, you really want to do something, but, you know, other things take priority, and understanding that and not coming down on yourself hard. So that's what I think self-love is.
My name is Jason Fuller, Generation Justice Fellow, and I'm here to talk about the love of self. And when I hear loving yourself, what does it actually mean? Well, to me, it means that you're happy with who you are. You are happy of who you've become. You are, how do I say this? You have like almost this swagger that you've like come to peace with who you are, and really it's a good peace. And a lot of young people, really, they struggle with this in the beginning because the media's influence on what you should like, what's normal, what's not normal. And when you're a teenager and a young person, I mean, we tend to think that everything that we're doing is weird or that we're abnormal. But in reality, as long as you love what you're doing, as long as you feel confident in who you are as a person, your personality, your contributions to society, I feel once you come and you have that internal battle, and you have your outside self, when you have both parts of yourself saying, "Hey, Jason, like, do you really like yourself? Do you really love yourself? Do you like who you have become? Do you like what you contribute? Do you like the qualities that make you who you are?" I feel like once you have that battle, the internal battle, I feel like you walk away just with a more sense of confidence in terms of who you are. And once you actually know, like, who you are, then it's like you can start to divert and, like, distribute some of the love. And
you're able to leave greater impressions because you're confident in who you are. You're able to take a stance, and that's a good reason why it is to love yourself, to be able to love others, and then again to just be more confident and firm in what you stand for.
Hello, my name is Polly Dinetclaw, and I really like this quote from Lucille Ball. Love yourself first, and everything else falls into line. You really have to love yourself to get anything done in this world, and I truly believe that. I guess the first time that I realized love of self was something that I needed was when I was in high school. And I just made this poster that said, love yourself in cursive, with hearts all around it in different colors. And that's the moment that I realized I didn't really love myself. And I put myself down constantly. I had a very negative portrayal of myself. I didn't like the way that I looked. I didn't like the way that I talked. I didn't like the way that I acted. It really hurt my self-esteem. The phrase love yourself came to me, and when I had negative thoughts about myself, I replaced them with positive thoughts. You know, I love who I've become, and I love that I've grown, and because I love myself now, I'm more able and more willing to love the world. I think it's important for people to love themselves because when you love yourself, you become the best version of yourself. Loving myself is so important to me that I got a tattoo on my shoulder saying love yourself. I have it as a reminder that I'm an amazing person. All the beauty that is in my personality, that is in what makes me a person. And then from there, it just grew and grew and grew. And now I'm able to fully understand, you know, the different types of love, the different levels of love, and self-love is the way that you start it.
She's been down and out, she's been wrote about, she's been talked about constantly. She's been up and down, she's been pushed around, but they held her down in NYC. She has no regrets, she accepts the past, all these things they helped to make she's been lost and found, and she's still around. There's a reason for everything.
In the fall, Generation Justice attended the Tie the Knot Foundation's Support Freedom to Marry in New Mexico event. Tie the Knot was founded by New Mexico native Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family and his husband. The project was created to raise awareness and advocate on behalf of marriage freedom through art, fashion, and entertainment.
They have collaborated with New Mexican fashion designer Patricia Michaels to produce a New Mexican-themed bow tie. All the proceeds will benefit the ACLU New Mexico's campaign, Why Marriage Matters.
Our very own Brittany Sosi had the opportunity to speak with fashion designer Patricia Michaels at the ACLU event.
Patricia is a native New Mexican from the Taos Pueblo and is the creator of her fashion line, PM Waterlily. By fusing her own aesthetic with indigenous and European perspectives, her clothing line has gained worldwide recognition.
In 2011, Patricia was selected as the finalist in the 11th season of Project Runway. With this recent acclaim, Patricia has taken a stand on marriage equality and advocates for social justice.
Here is Patricia Michaels as she talks about fashion, social justice, and how love brings everything together.
Hi, my name is Brittany Sosi, and I'm here with Generation Justice along with Miss Patricia Michaels. Hello, Patricia. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great, Whitney. It's great to see you again. Thank you so much for taking the time.
We are here at the Tie the Knot event here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I have a few questions to ask you. First of all, can you tell me a little bit about your background and how long have you been in the fashion industry?
Yes, from Taos Pueblo, New Mexico. And I've been doing fashion since, well, when I went in college at the Institute of American Indian Arts in 1986. So I've been, you know, trying different textiles, techniques, and everything. And then I reopened up my business, PM Waterlily, 5 years ago.
Is PM Waterlily your
label?
Your label.
Mm-hmm.
it's really called in the fashion industry. Could you tell me a little bit about your opinion and how does marriage equality and social justice intersect with each other?
It's really important that we have marriage equality and social justice on the same plane. Because if you want to be respected, then you have to respect back. There's no such thing as selective respect. And that's one of the main words that we learn as being Native American. So it's time that as being leaders or being a part of our culture growing, then we need to be able to be open and really give from our hearts and let down any kinds of fears that is preconceived ideas that has been inflicted in by other societies coming into our cultures and not having that. Since my grandfather was a leader, I knew that he raised us to be very open to whoever came through our doors, and I don't ever want that to ever be dispelled, because I knew that it didn't matter if it was somebody from Vietnam who came through the door, if it was somebody who was a drunk who came through the door, if it was, you know, somebody who was gay who came through the door. He didn't treat anybody differently. Being a leader, he knew that you had to treat everybody equal, because you can't continue to make a culture strong if you're going to, like, say, well, this person's not good enough for the culture. No, everybody is equal. Nobody is better than the next person. And like I had said earlier this evening, you know, water doesn't decide where it goes when it falls from the ground. It lands where it lands. And same with love. I believe love is the same way. It's not selective. It doesn't discriminate. Where it finds itself and where a person finds their love is what should be nurtured. And only those people know that. We don't know. We can't judge.
Very beautifully said. And the symbolism in that really got visual into my head. So thank you for that. Could you tell me about PM Water Lily and where do you get your inspiration for your designs? I mean, being a native New Mexican and you run Project Runway and everything.
Well, I love PM Water Lily because it's about my visions being a Native American, raised in Santa Fe at a Catholic parochial school, because my mother was a single parent, and in order for her to put food on the table for us and the family, she had to move to Santa Fe. And, you know, Taos back in the 60s and the 70s was only like a 40-minute drive because there was hardly any cars in the road. But for me, it was a journey where Native Americans were misunderstood, and they didn't know the diversity of our culture and the type of different people and ceremonies and things that we participated in. So PM Water Lily explores really the ancient to the very contemporary and modern. I don't ever want to be stifled by any anthropological view or any kind of Hollywood view. This is about the heart.
Do you have any wisdom for young people involved in with campaigns such as marriage equality?
Yes, just look into your heart and really think that this is the commitment and step that you want to do. Don't abuse the fact that you're given love. And with that love, if that's what you're going to do to nurture it, to really take that step, then continue to nurture it in the best way you can. Don't abuse it. Don't take it for granted. Don't try to control, because you can't control anything. And so if at some point in time you've been hurt by negating that you could go through with it by law or family, just know that with your partner, if you're strong and you're willing to really stay and embrace one another the best way you can, then don't give up. Just know then that's what being committed to somebody and loving that person, that's what it means. That's staying with your partner for who they are. And no judgment. Nobody has to boss your love around or it has to be a certain way. Just know that if you have that opportunity to really then consummate it, then take care of it. Just nurture it.
I know this campaign really means a lot to you, and, you know, you expressed that when you presented, and, you know, it kind of brought me, like, what, tears to my eyes, just because that really hits home for me with, like, the way I grew up. Yeah. And so, Well, you kind of already answered this question, that you do believe that there's a culture or a correlation that exists between your fashion and social justice, and it's kind of like the social justice work that you're doing through this campaign of Tie the Knot.
Yes, there is a huge parallel that happens with social justice and fashion and Tie the Knot, because I work with gay people in my industry. It would be crazy to think that that would be something that I would be against and function. I would not be functioning. You know, that's like saying I'm going to be making these garments without fabric or, you know, some kind of material or, you know, it's important to know that the people that you work with, and I love my work. I absolutely love my work. And part of my work is working with people that I love with, that I love to work with, you know, that I love with. I don't know what I can. But that, you know, I love to work with. So it's a parallel. You know, you support one another. This is part of who you are. They become part of your family. They become part of the language of they embrace beauty. They embrace loving to show how, you know, fabulous and they are with design and clothing and art. And you see their point of view. And it makes sense. And it's fun. And it's fun to discuss. And it's fun to argue with. You know, you look at all the different aspects. And these are all the people that I work with. So why wouldn't I want to embrace them? It wouldn't make sense. It's like I would be in another, like, a sad place if I wasn't standing up for what I believe in.
I've been doing a lot of work and talking, especially about beating stereotypes. I mean, as a young Native woman, I've kind of had that in my mind all the time. It's like, well, I don't want to be a statistic. I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to follow what everybody thinks I'm going to follow. And I've been able to live on and off the res and experience that, which is something you kind of, you experienced. Oh, yeah. Like living on in Taos and going back to the reservation, but then also being, I guess, like living in the city. Right. And you kind of got like that kind of experience, which is really, I mean, I can't tell, like that helped me so much to see all these things that like aren't like, just, it's amazing. And I kind of like, do you think you getting that perspective of being traditional but also living in the city, do you think that really helped you? And for kids who are just living on the reservation, or just Native American students or children especially, like just living in the reservation or just living in the city, like how do you think that it's helped you to live kind of in both worlds?
Well, I think it's really important that first of all, living in the reservation is, or you know, the Pueblo, because we weren't placed there. That's where we were living, and then they just, you know, we fought them off, so we stayed. So, anyhow, I think that it's important that children know that there's opportunity outside the reservation, and not to be afraid of it, and to know that when they leave, they can still take their upbringing and their knowledge with them no matter what. They don't have to go out and preach it because it belongs to their people. Mm-hmm. And so they don't have to exploit it. Mm-hmm. They don't have to use that to become commercial, like, you know, pseudo-Indian, oh my God, I know everything type of thing. You know, what they need to do is know, because it belongs to their people, that they keep that sacred and they keep that close and respected as part of who their people are. And because they know who they are, they should never, ever fear going out into the rest of the world, because they don't have to prove who they are. Mm-hmm. They already know that. Mm-hmm. What their job is to do is to learn what the outside world is about, because the outside world is busy teaching who they are. Because mm-hmm. the outside world is kind of learning who they are anyhow. But always know to go home and participate and keep whatever traditions and culture we still have, keep it alive, because that's our strongest strength, that's our strongest medicine. Mm-hmm. is knowing who we are in our culture.
That's beautifully said. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I just want to make sure that part of the reason that I did Project Runway was because I wanted the youth to know that elders can still always be doing something new and different. I got out there because my elders paved paths for me. I'm not doing anything new that our ancestors haven't done. We had trade routes. We had arenas that were set way before Columbus came in. And we're just continuing that expression and not to be afraid, because you know what? They've already set prayers for us wherever we can go. So don't ever fear traveling and going, and always acknowledge your ancestors no matter where you go.
I have one more question to go along with that. What needs to change in the fashion industry to make it more accessible to underrepresented Indigenous people?
We need more people in all facets of the fashion industry that are Native American voice. You don't always have to be the fashion designer or the textile designer. There's marketing. There's PR. There's dressers. There's production. There's so many facets to it. So the more that we can get people in all arenas of all the different job outlines that are in the industry, then that can make us that much stronger. But we need Native Americans in all parts of the fashion industry. And that will make our voice heard.
I completely agree with Patricia Michaels when she said, "You love who you love." It's a beautiful and powerful thought, and I really liked it.
Personally, Patricia's success encourages people of color to work in a competitive industry while staying true to themselves.
Thank you, Patricia, for your knowledge. Love truly is a way to connect to community, culture, passion, and ideals. Our next song touches on love as a way of life. Here is Ziggy Marley with "Love Is My Religion."
All my days I've been searching to find out what this life is worth. Through the books and Bibles of time, I've made up my mind.
A romantic relationship shared by two people is sacred and special. When loving another person, you accept them despite their faults, and you aim to make that person happy. They, in return, love you unconditionally and try their best to make you happy. It's a balance and a difficult one to maintain.
Our Generation Justice family had this to say about the romantic part of love. Here's Rashad Mahmoud, Melissa Louise O, and Nick Toledo.
My name is Rashad Mahmoud. I am a public ally, and I work here at Generation Justice. For me, romantic love is important because it's one of the bedrocks of our daily lives, of our daily existences. And so in my case, with my wife, Emma, I'm just so blessed to have her in my life. And it's really one of the best aspects of it has been that we've both been able to give each other space and opportunity when we've needed to. So, for example, when I had a job offer in Iraq, it was really hard on her, but she loved me enough to say, "You know what, Rashad, if you really want to do it, then you should go for it, and our relationship is strong enough that we'll make it work." We moved back to the United States after living in Egypt together for a little while. We lived in Michigan, where she was finishing up her studies, and then when she got a job here in Albuquerque, I loved her enough and supported her enough to say, "You know what, it's fine, I'll figure something out. You got this amazing job, so let's move there and we'll make it work." And so I think that's one of the key aspects of love, is giving room and flexibility, really. And so there's just one short excerpt from a poem by Khalil Gibran that I really liked, where he talks about love. It's from The Prophet, and this is just a part of when he talks about love, but he says, "Let there be spaces in your togetherness, and let the winds of the heavens dance between you. Love one another, but make not a bond of love. Let it rather be a moving sea between the shores of your souls. Fill each other's cup, but drink not from one cup. Give one another of your bread, but eat not from the same loaf. Sing and dance together and be joyous, but let each one of you be alone. Even as the strings of a lute are alone, though they quiver with the same music. Give your hearts, but not into each other's keeping, for only the hand of life can contain your hearts. And stand together, yet not too near together, for the pillars of the temple stand apart, and the oak tree and the cypress grow not in each other's shadow.
Well, my name is Melissa Louise O, and this is what I think about love. And still, after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, "You owe me." Look at what happens with a love like that. It lights up the whole sky. That's a poem by Hafez, who was a Persian poet way back in the 14th century. His words still ring true today, and I think that they can be applied to all types of love. In terms of romantic love, this is the first time that I've ever really thought of it this way. I always thought romantic love was like holding hands and buying each other presents, and just like, I don't think understood until now that I've like met this boy who's like so cool. He makes me a better person by challenging me and also by supporting me, and I try to do the same for him. We made this 12-point system for New Year's, and every day there are 12 points that you can get by doing certain tasks that are like self-improvement tasks. So every day we try to learn a new word in sign language, Spanish. He's learning Chinese, and we also want to increase our English vocabulary, so we do that. And cooking and 25 minutes of cardio, all of these things can earn you a point. And at the end of the week, whoever has the most points gets to pick date night, and the loser has to pay. And in this system that we collaborated on and made together, I think we've really become better people. And if we can continue on this path of just like, this is what he's doing, how can I help him? This is what I'm doing. And then I think he's thinking, how can I help her? It's just really supportive. And I think this is what romantic love is like love of yourself, love of the other person in an equal way that really just promotes change and positivity and fun.
Hello, my name is Nick Tolardo. The message today is kind of about like what love means to me. Well, for the longest time, love really didn't mean anything to me because I didn't know what it felt like. I guess I knew what pain felt like. I knew what it felt like to not be loved. As far as romantic love, which is what a lot of people connect with Valentine's Day, I had no idea what it was like to feel that kind of love. And lo and behold, sometime in December of 2013, I met someone, and he was very sweet guy. And it's turned into something very, very special that I thought would never happen. So what love means to me is that between two people who are in love, you can fight, you can bicker, you can say mean things to each other, or you can do mean things to each other. But in the end, if you come back to each other and all is forgiven and forgotten, and you remember that love is what connected you in the first place, that should make it okay. So to me, love is infinite. I don't think it ever ends.
You just heard Michael Franti and Spearhead with Say Hey, I Love You. Paulie, we talked about every aspect of love and how it impacts our communities, ourselves, as well as relationships. I can't think of anything else.
Jason, what about our family and friends?
Oh, yeah. How could I forget about the support systems which we rely on when we have our good and bad days?
My thoughts exactly. Family and friends are the backbones of our lives. It's from the family that we are born into and the ones that we make that we first experience love and conceptualize love at its core.
Our very own Kamaria Umi, Alden Bruce, Asia Lujan, and Melissa Harris will share with you their thoughts on love of family and friends, which will be followed by Love Train by the OJs.
I think love of friends and family, because I think when you love someone, it makes you feel better too, and makes you feel like you're making someone else happy besides yourself. And I think putting others in front of you helps. And then after that, everything kind of aligns, and then you love yourself too. So it makes yourself feel better. To me, I think love is putting someone ahead of yourself, putting their needs in front of yours, and just thinking of them all the time, making them feel like you care about them. And it's really just wanting to give all your all into someone, making them feel like they're special to you. Everything in your life evolves around how you feel and what you do, and I think actions speak louder than words, so when you express it, it means a lot. It makes others, like I said, feel better, and it makes your world just a happier, brighter place. It makes you feel awesome.
Hello, my name is Kamaria Umi, a staff member here at Generation Justice. And I think one of the most important things about love is a love for your family and your friends. I think a lot of times we take for granted what our family and our friends have done for us. I know I really appreciate everything that my family does for me. They support me, they love me, they just give me that unconditional love that you don't always see. And the same with my friends. Everything that we do, whether it be a road trip or just hanging out in the living room and just talking, that's a sense of love, that we're all coming together and we're all sharing stories and sharing moments that we may not get tomorrow. And so we need to really just take a step back, look at what we have, and just appreciate everyone that's in our lives. Somebody once told me that a strong family leads to a stronger village and a stronger community. I really do believe that, because I have such a strong family. It's given me the foundation to just have love for myself and have love for my community and have love for everyone who's come into my life and love for all of my family and my friends. I really do appreciate and love all of you guys. And I'm going to leave with a quote by Grace Lee Boggs, and she says, "Love isn't about what we did yesterday. It's about what we do today and tomorrow and the day after."
Okay, hello. My name is Alden Bruce. I am the web and video coordinator here at Generation Justice. The difference between the love for friends and the love for family is just really depends on how that bond was formed. So with family, you can't really choose it because you're kind of born into that. You can't make the choice on who your parents were. You can't make the choice on who your brother is or who your sister is. And that's something that you really don't have any control over. And with friends, you do choose it. And you could kind of form that selection on who you accept as a friend or who accepts you as a friend. And that's how that bond gets formed in that sense. And I think what really plays a factor in building that relationships and building that comfort is the fact that you guys may not always get along, because I know with my family, they frustrate me to no end. Even though we do share fair their disagreements and clashing views, we can see past that and we can move past that. And the fact that we have worked through those past experiences makes that love stronger, makes that bond deeper, which strengthens that love. Because we get that freedom of choosing who our friends are, we kind of find out more about ourselves in that sense. What the cool thing about that is it really relates back to self-love and how we can love ourselves because of who we choose to surround ourselves with. So if we really love ourselves and we say, hey, this other person really helps us figure out who we are, then it's a lot easier for us to love that other person. And then that kind of relates back to family as well, since they also help choose who we are. That also helps relate back to community and social justice, because what we're passionate about or what issues go on in our community really shape ourselves as well. I'd say it's more like acceptance. I don't know, it's something that you can't really describe in words, because it's more like feeling. It's more so you just kind of know that you care for them and that you're willing to sacrifice. I think as long as that exists within you, as long as you have that motivation, you can say that you love them.
For me, the most important love is love of family and friends. They're what keep me going in life, to kind of say it horribly. My family, I'm really close with my family. If you had asked me 5 years ago if I would be seeing them multiple times a week, I would have been like, oh no, like, I'm going to be living as far away from them as possible. But things changed, and now we go on family trips to Costco. It's pretty fun. I'm also really close with my friends, especially my college friends, because they kind of became my family away from my family. My sister's my best friend. We're 3.5 years apart. In childhood, I constantly think of the funny, horrible things my sister did to me. She was really smart, and so she did what I will call psychological warfare on me. My favorite story of her is she convinced that we had a jungle gym, and on it I saw little caps on the screws which looked like top hats, in my personal opinion. And so I asked my sister why there was top hats, and she again came up with a story about how there were little people living in our jungle gym, and that it was actually our neighbor would eat the little people. You know, of course I was going to go talk to my parents, so then she created a further story about how there was a lawsuit in effect, and therefore if I actually told my parents, they'd get in a lot of trouble because they were not allowed to talk about it because of the lawsuit with our neighbor. Those are the funny memories from my childhood, and the funny memories of my sister, who, you know, to this day is my absolute best friend. Your siblings are your first friends. Your siblings are the people who know everything about you and who have been through so much with you. It's the most important relationship in my mind is with my sister. She's the person who I go to, I talk to, gives me advice. Sometimes I hate it, sometimes I love it, but at the end of the day, my sister is the most important relationship. We don't always have to, like, we say I love you. We do that, you know, constantly. But, you know, we check in on each other. We laugh, because that's the most important thing. We, you know, cry together, we talk together, we just do all these things that really, I think, without having to say it, exemplify the fact that, you know, we love each other. We're sisters. I really feel like, you know, family love is the most important one for me, because that is the people who, yeah, you may not have chosen them, but they're also the people who are going to be there for you through thick and thin. And it doesn't always have to be biological family, but whoever you make your family, that's the unconditional love that really, truly exists.
Sadly, we've come to the end of our show. We want to give thanks to everyone who made this show possible.
A huge thanks to Roberto Rayo, Oma Olavaria Gallegos, Alden Bruce, George Luna Pena, Camaria Umi, Brittany Tulsi, Rashad Mahmoud, Melissa O, Victor Torres, Asia Lujan, Nicole Beatty, Nick Toledo, and Melissa Harris for stopping by and sharing their feelings on love.
We would also like to thank Patricia Michaels for your advocacy on marriage equality and social justice.
The always poignant Melissa Harris produced this show, along with our director, Roberto Rayo. Editing was done by Paulie and me. And our engineer for tonight is Camaria Umi.
We would like to thank all of our youth media makers here at Generation Justice. Without you all, we would be incomplete.
Make sure to check out our website, generationjustice.org, where you can listen to all of our past shows, see our music playlist, and watch our videos. You can also see the music playlist on KUNM.org by searching for Generation Justice.
We're also active on social media, so please like us on Facebook by searching for Generation Justice. And follow us on Twitter at Gen Justice. Tweet, tweet.
Generation Justice is funded by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, with additional funding from the McCune Foundation. And, of course, all of you who have contributed to our project by visiting our website and clicking Donate.
We are now recruiting for more Generation Justice members. Are you interested in multimedia journalism? Do you want to use media to make a difference?
If so, you should definitely check out Generation Justice. Go to our website, generationjustice.org, and download an application today.
And please join us and New Mexico Coalition for Equity and Justice and sharing your thoughts on proposed changes to the lottery scholarship. Let's make sure that policymakers hear our voices. Visit NewMexicoSpeaks.com and leave your response. Thank you again for listening.
I'm Jason Fuller.
And I'm Polly Dinetclaw.
Up next is Spoken Word.
Hello, my name is Brittany Soucy, and before we leave you tonight, I would like to leave you with this quote by Barbara Day Angelis. Love is a force more formidable than any other. It is invisible. It cannot be seen or measured, yet it is powerful enough to transform you in a moment and offer you more joy than any material possession could.
If you were falling, then I